listening to Buckhorn UMC's Church Podcast with Lead Pastor Benny Oakes. Buckhorn Church seeks to be a Christian family that worships and grows in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit to put our faith and love to work in the world.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to worship at Buckhorn United Methodist Church. We are glad that you are here. Our Old Testament reading comes to us today from the book of Isaiah, chapter 63. Beginning with verse 7, I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their Savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. Here ends the reading. Our gospel lesson comes to us from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10, beginning with verse 25. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. O Lord, to you all hearts are open and all minds are revealed to you so that there are no secret thoughts. Lord, let our hearts and minds and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. And as the one who stands before you, O God, I pray that you would use me, that either because of me or even in spite of me, Lord, still your word will be faithfully proclaimed and your name glorified. Amen. It's a familiar story, perhaps too familiar. It's a story told in Scripture, and we've read it for 2,000 years. It's a story told so much that it seeps into our culture. It's even into our society. There's even a law called the Good Samaritan Law, which basically, as I understand it, means that if a person goes to help another person and unintentionally does that person harm, because of the good intent, that person is protected by this law, the Good Samaritan Law, to encourage people to help whenever people need help. And sometimes it can be dangerous for us as church whenever we hear this story, because there's a tendency to pass it by a little bit too quickly. There's other stuff in the Bible that we're all trying to figure out, and things that don't seem really too easy for us to understand. But this story seems pretty easy. Love God and your neighbor, right? Well, perhaps there's something more. Maybe there's more to the story. I pray that God will use us this morning to understand a little more about what this story unfolds for us to understand for our lives. You know, because we've maybe not practiced the Good Samaritan thing too often in our lives. I know for myself, I've driven by people who have been on the side of the road, changing a flat tire, thinking, you know, someone else will stop. Or it looks like they've got it under control. I'm not going to bother. I'm late for something I need to get to anyhow. And then there's that uncomfortable moment when I see someone holding a sign that says something like, "We'll work for food. Any donations appreciated." And that person's usually at an intersection. And sometimes I secretly pray that the light will stay green long enough so that I can get through it and not have to really look at that person or even talk with that person. It's not something I'm proud of. As a matter of fact, last Sunday, as I was coming here on Christian Chapel Road, there happened to be a cyclist on the shoulder of the road. And I don't know if he was having trouble. It looks like he was sitting down and trying to use his cell phone. But I didn't stop to ask if I could help. I wonder if you've encountered people who need help. And what does this story have to tell us beyond just the helping part? We know we ought to help other people who are in need. But I think there's also another meaning there that points to God's crazy, ridiculous, extravagant love. And so as we attempt to love God and our neighbor, let us take a closer look at this story together. You see, this lawyer, this man who knew the scriptures very well, stood up to test Jesus. And he said, "How can I gain eternal life?" Sounds kind of selfish, doesn't it? How can I gain eternal life? And so Jesus, knowing that this man was well versed in the law, asks him a really pointed question. "Well, what does it say in the law? What do you find there?" So he says, "Love your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself." You see, he combined two scriptures together. As a person well versed in the law, he knew the scripture from Deuteronomy that said, "Love your God." But he also knew that scripture from Leviticus, from the Old Testament scriptures, that says, "Love your neighbor." And so the next question he asks gets at that second scripture. "And Jesus, who is my neighbor?" In typical Jesus fashion, he doesn't answer him directly. He tells him a story. The story about a treacherous road that 2,000 years ago was known as the Bloody Way. This area, this 18-mile stretch from Jerusalem to Jericho, was called the Bloody Way because it was full of rocks and turns and places where thieves and robbers and murderers could hide. So some unsuspecting soul who might be traveling alone would pass by and perhaps encounter trouble. Well, we know from this story that there was such a man who encountered trouble along the way, to the point where they beat him, they robbed him, and they left him there to die. And then Jesus says, "And just as fate would have it, a priest dressed in a long robe happened to be walking by, saw that the man needed help, and stopped to help." You'd like to think so, but he doesn't. And you can hear what's going through his mind. "Oh, I don't want to touch this man. He's bloody and unclean. I'm not going to dirty my hands here," because really it was a serious sacred ritual thing that if a priest touched blood, the priest would have to go through this very long ritual of cleansing himself before he was fit again for the kingdom. So I'm not going to mess with that. I'm going to stay clear of going on. And besides, you know, the people that did this to this guy, probably going to do the same thing to me. So I might as well go on this side of the road. And instead of having two deaths, we'll have just one today. You can hear that, perhaps, thinking in his mind. The Levite, or maybe more precisely in today's terms, the lay leader of the church, comes by and passes just the way the priest did, perhaps thinking some of the same things. Well, I've got an admin council meeting I'm late for. I need to get there. And besides, this man looks like he's almost dead already. There's nothing I can do to help. You hear this. And so he keeps right on walking. But then there's this Samaritan person. Samaritans, as we learned from our children's message earlier, were not friendly with the Jews. In fact, they were enemies. They hated each other. Today's equivalent might be, you know, a group of right-wing terrorist group from some religious organization other than Christian. That might be who our enemy is. So this Samaritan, this enemy, comes by and sees the man bleeding on the side of the road, and it says in Scripture that he had pity. Now it's one thing to have pity, it's another thing to do something about it. Now what we don't understand, and perhaps thinking about the fact that this was called the Bloody Way, this man stopped in spite of the fact that he was risking his life. You see, the very idea that he would stop to help this man means that he could have been killed himself. He could have ended up just like this man. And so what does he do? He pours oil and wine to cleanse his wounds, and then he bandages them up. And if that wasn't enough, he puts him on his own animal, travels to an inn, gets to the inn, and he stays there to take care of him the rest of the day. And if that wasn't enough, the next morning he goes to the innkeeper and he says, "Look, I've got 2 days worth of wages I want you to have for this man. I would like for you to take care of this man. And if I come back and you have to pay any more money than what I've given you, I will repay that too." As if that wasn't enough. You see, the act of the Samaritan reminds us of how extravagant God's love is. It comes with heaping waves of grace, upon mercy, upon mercy. And Jesus tells this lawyer friend of his, "Go and do likewise." And yet this story also points us again to how extravagant and ridiculous this love is. It reminds me of another story in Scripture. In fact, it's in the Gospel of Luke as well, chapter 15. Jesus says to him, "You know, you want to know what God's love is like? You want to know what God is like? You want to know the kingdom of heaven? Well, it's like a mother. It's like a mother. It's like a woman who's in this home and she's lost a coin. She looks everywhere for that coin. She can't find it anywhere. So she starts to move stuff out into the yard. She gets her couch up. She moves it outside. She takes the dresser, moves it outside, and the nightstand. Everything that's in the house comes outside until she can find that coin for it to be hers again. Who wouldn't do that? Well, the answer is nobody. Nobody does that. When's the last time you lost a coin and went looking for it in that way? It's crazy. This is the kind of love that God has for each one of us. He tells another story about a sheep. He said there's a shepherd, he has 100 sheep. And guess what? One of them gets lost. One out of the 100 gets lost. So which one of you wouldn't go looking for that lost sheep, leaving the 99 behind to fend for themselves while you look for that lost sheep. Until you finally find that sheep, you pick it up in joy, place it over your shoulders, and walk back to your herd. Well, nobody does that. No shepherd would do that in their right mind. They play the law of averages. They look at it and go, well, I've got 99, I should go after. No, I wouldn't go after the one. But guess what? God does. God goes after the one. That's how crazy, ridiculous God's love is. How extravagant His love is for each one of us. It might cause us to think and to place ourselves inside this story. And perhaps we've been maybe each one of the characters in this story before. There might be days where we are the priest or the Levite who walked by on the other side. And for those days, we pray for God's mercy, for God's grace and God's love to help us do the right thing the next time. And perhaps there are days when we're the Good Samaritan, when we do everything we can to help out those who are in need, not because we think we're going to get something out of it, but because we realize God's love for us in our life, and we want to spread that love throughout God's kingdom here on earth. And maybe, just maybe, there are days where we feel like we're the person in the ditch, that we have been left broken and beaten, robbed of all of our senses, feeling desperate and lonely. Well, it's a good thing that God goes after the one. God's love is not going to pass us by while we lie there in the ditch. God is there to restore us, to heal us from our brokenness, whether it be physical, spiritual, mental, or otherwise. God desperately wants to redeem us. Reminds me of the story that we know all too well, don't we? This Jesus that God sent to the world because He loved the world so much, that He sent His only Son to teach us how to love and how to live. And if that wasn't enough, this Son Jesus of His would die on the cross so that we wouldn't have to bear the burden of sin no longer. And if that wasn't enough, 3 days later, this same Jesus rose from the grave so that we might know that there is a hope for eternal life, that we might go the way the saints have gone, that have gone before us, following Jesus. And if that wasn't enough, God sent His Holy Spirit to be with us on the day of Pentecost, that we would never, ever have to be alone, but that we would always have God as close as our next breath. It's kind of interesting that the word Spirit in both the Greek, the New Testament scriptures, and the Old Testament scriptures, the Hebrew, the word Spirit also means breath. That God is as close as our next breath because of God's gift of the Holy Spirit. Wow. And so what does that compel us to do? Well, that's for us to figure out as we leave today and go forth into this world that God has created. God wants to use you in whatever condition you're in so that God's glory may be known and you might be whole. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.